SBS Radio.
Thank you very much, Nathan Mike White. He is a PhD student from the United States of America to do some research about Hmong language in James Cook University. Can you tell us more about your five research? Why do you want to do research in Hmong languages? What's particular reason for that?
Yes. It began, I grew up in Fresno, California, in the United States. So I grew up, Hmong people were in the community, very large population. I grew up seeing, government signs written in English and Hmong, for example. Familiar with the language a little bit growing up. I was exposed to it a little bit. As I pursued my career in linguistics, I had the opportunity to actually start learning Hmong and do research in Hmong. Mm-hmm. Given my background and my initial exposure to it, I decided, let's do Hmong.
Okay.
So I've been researching Hmong for 6 years now.
So what do you really want to find out about Hmong languages?
My goal right now is to write a complete grammar of the language. So, many languages have grammars written about them. You can go to the library,
find
a book
right.
on English grammar, read all about it. You could do the same with French, with German, with mm-hmm. Chinese, with Japanese. But the problem is, really, you can't for Hmong.
Yeah.
So my goal right now is to write a grammar of Hmong so that people who want to learn about how Hmong works as a language can, like I said, go to the library, take a book from the shelf, mm-hmm. and actually read about how the language works.
That's a very, very good idea. Probably you might be the first ever person to think about the structure or the grammar of the Hmong language. And how do you find it? Is it too challenging for you? Because you might be the first person to do so. And how are the Hmong community react to this?
Yes. So in terms of difficulty, obviously I have to learn the language and mm-hmm. Hmong because of the tones. It's
yes.
I found learning to read and write the language was rather easy. It's very it's a very straightforward language. It's not a confusing language. The problem is in spoken Hmong you have the tones, and you have different words that sound almost identical except for the difference in tone, how you change the pitch. You can say thaw. And that's for different words. So because of that, going in as a researcher trying to enter into the Hmong language, that's the biggest difficulty to be able to do the research. Apart from that, it's actually rather easy to do the research. As a researcher, I have a lot of training of how to work with speakers of a language.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what questions to ask, how to ask them, how to test out certain things, how to, listen in on people talking and try to pay attention for when they use a certain a phrase or say things a certain way. I want to, write that down or record that immediately. And so through that, I'm able to get the information I need to be able to do the research. As for the Hmong community support, the biggest thing about it is essentially it's a situation where, if you're going to be asking for help from the Hmong community to do something, you need to give something to the Hmong community. So working with people in the Hmong community, helping out with them with certain things, they help me with certain things. And as a result, it works out. Now, as for the Hmong community's interest in a grammar being produced, there is a lot of interest I've noticed from Hmong people. They do want to know how their language works. Most Hmong people in Australia, most Hmong people in the United States, they've studied English. So they know that English has structure, English has grammar, has rules.
That's correct.
But what about Hmong? So it's a big question mark for them. They're curious. A lot of people want to know that. I've had a number of people ask me for my PhD thesis when I'm done because they want to see it. They want to see, how does this work? So yeah, there is some community interest in seeing this happen.
Apart from Hmong community, do you get any other help from other academic, other linguists, other institution who has done Hmong research before, previously?
Yes, so there have been several people who have done Hmong research before. Once the Hmong started arriving in America, several American researchers decided to study Hmong some. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, no one has ever produced a complete grammar. Most people have looked only at certain little areas mm-hmm. in how Hmong works, like one little area and so on mm-hmm. in White Hmong. Mm-hmm. Someone looked at those, for example. But essentially, no one has looked at the whole language. And one person tried to do a grammar of Hmong, but they made many mistakes, and it's not complete. There is some that exists. There's a lot of work to be done. Yeah, essentially, it's a good start, but a lot of mistakes were done, obviously. So I have to be very careful. Researchers used to claim for Hmong that Hmong has tense, like English, like future tense, past tense, present tense, and so on. You ask any Hmong person, that's not true. And the truth is, the Hmong people are right. The researchers were wrong. Hmong doesn't have the tense categories that English does. You can say the same thing for I went, or I'm going, or I will go. You don't have to add something. And if you add something, it's not the same thing as English. So they got the researchers got confused because they thought that, like, they asked Hmong people, how do you say this English phrase in Hmong? And then they thought that the English meaning and the Hmong meaning were the same. But of course, that's not, they're two different languages. That created early confusion. So for me, it's what was researched before is a good foundation, but I have to look at everything and double check, is this actually mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time I find out, no, it's wrong. So it's an interesting, it's a benefit, but it's a problem too at the same time.
So how do you handle your research?
Well, from that point of view, I'm still in my PhD program, my PhD course. I don't have my PhD yet, still mm-hmm. studying at JCU to get it. The director, the center where I do my research mm-hmm. desired that we make this Hmong grammar. So I have mm-hmm. a lot of support from the university to do this. My PhD course is by research. So I do, my PhD is this research on Hmong. So it's actually one and the same. If that were not the case, it would be very difficult. But the people at James Cook University want a grammar of Hmong, and they want to see it happen. So they have, they're putting a lot of resources, or they're giving a lot of resources to me to be able to get this book done.
Do any Hmong scholar or Hmong linguist show interest in your work that you're doing now? And they say that, okay, I put my hands up. If you want to do that, I want to be part of it. Is there any interest at all?
Yeah, so far I have not had personal contact with Hmong linguists. There are a small number of Hmong who have done research in Hmong. And of course, their research, it's wonderfully accurate. It's very good research. But obviously, so far I have not had the opportunity to contact them. I know people who know them, but it's always a challenge to find a way to connect with them directly. So I actually have not had that opportunity. I definitely would love if any Hmong linguists were interested in taking part in the project. I absolutely would invite them. I would love them to take part. Just the personal networking has not been as strong as I would like it to be.
In terms of us, a person outside of Hmong community, you study Hmong. How do you study Hmong so you can manage the language? You learn how to grasp it, how to speak it fluently, and you know the language so you can speak as close as to the native speakers.
Yeah, so there are two parts to that. One is grammar. It's accomplishable through reading. I know how to read and write Hmong. That was the first thing I learned. The Hmong writing system is very good for Hmong, even if sometimes you have to write a lot of letters and it seems a little bit strange. It's very good for someone learning Hmong to be able to learn how to read the language and then begin to read. There are some Hmong dictionaries, so if there's a word I don't know, I can check. But so far, there are no Hmong dictionaries that actually cover all of the words. And it's a challenge. Mm. So sometimes I, if I need to know a word, I need to just sit down with a friend in the Hmong community and ask them, well, what's this word? What's that word? But I find that reading Hmong is actually a very good way to learn how to say things, like how you put the words together. It makes it very clear because you have lots of examples that you can see. Learning the pronunciation, obviously, learning to actually speak is a bit difficult because you have so many sounds. You have all of these different tones. It makes it much more challenging because, say, in Chinese, you have only one tone that's a level pitch. In Chinese, people talk about ma, 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 ma. Well, there's only one that's just a straight ma. Whereas Hmong, you have, depending on how people say it, three or four straight like that. And they're all at different pitches. And it's amazed me because Hmong people can hear which pitch it is. And I've noticed that Hmong people are very good at that. But as an English speaker coming in learning Hmong, that's very challenging because I can't hear the difference between the levels very well. I'm still learning that. And I've had some success with it, but it's definitely a challenge.
How do you manage to learn that? Because the younger Hmong generation now in Western countries, especially America, Australia, Canada, and Europe, they learn other languages, especially English, whatever languages that they live in those countries. And it is very challenging for them to come back and learn Hmong language as well. In this case, what do you want to say to them?
For that, obviously the biggest difficulty is if you are Hmong, and I've seen this, so many different times, so many different places with different people. When you go back to your community language, you have the older generation who want you to speak it absolutely perfectly, no English accent or no French accent or whatever. And that's the biggest difficulty, especially if you learn the language, say, if you want to go back and learn Hmong as a teenager. You'll always have a little bit of an accent, and it's a part of the challenge. For them, I think the best opportunities are in California. They have some Hmong language programs, and they have some useful books that I've seen that have listening practice in them. This is good because obviously, if you're Hmong and you want to talk with your family, and they speak Hmong much better than you do. You trying to learn the language from scratch just from family will be a real problem because they want you to speak perfectly already. So because of that, what they do in America is Hmong students actually take classes on their own language. And there are several really helpful books that that Hmong teachers and professors in the United States have made. That have listening practice and the opportunity for speaking practice. And given that, if you're going to talk to your family, you need to already speak the language well. What seems to work is in California, you could take one of these classes, but we're in Australia. You can actually still get these learning materials from Hmong websites, say Yuping Xiong's website in Minnesota that I'm sure many community people are familiar with, or a Hmong professor, her name is Gao Li Ya. She teaches in Fresno, California. Mm-hmm. She's developed a series of books to help Hmong people get their language back, and it has all of the listening you need. And obviously you can start practicing speaking after that, those things. I would actually recommend that because it seems to be helping with difficulty that young people are having.
For the other regions that Hmong lives in, resources are not available. So probably social media, YouTube, websites, as right. you recommend.
YouTube can be helpful, yes.
Okay. Okay, so as a person who learned a Hmong language and you do research about Hmong language, how do you see Hmong language revolutionized through times? Because previously, as everyone might understand, that Hmong language has not been in the written form just recently, like the last four or five decades ago, that Hmong written system was created by Tsiplin Yapo, by Yang Shonglu, or the other creators for Hmong language. So in this term, how do you see as a language researcher?
At this point, as a language, Hmong is doing well for an immigrant language with no country that your community has control of. So under those circumstances and under the heavy pressure from, say, the American government or the Australian government or the Chinese government to put pressure on Hmong as a language, you need to learn the national language, you shouldn't just speak Hmong is basically the message. Because of that pressure, Hmong is threatened as a language. Obviously in Laos, because the Laotian government does not have the resources to pressure everyone to switch into Lao the way the Chinese government or the American government or the Australian government have. For the time being, Hmong is still doing okay in Laos, but if Laos does develop those resources, it will endanger the language. So essentially the language is under pressure in all these countries, or it may soon be. So because of that, even though Hmong has a writing system that's now really developed well, in America you now have television stations in Hmong where you actually have Hmong text being displayed on the screen. It's become a language of communication. Mm-hmm. Hmong people are now posting on the internet, say in social media, to some extent on news websites, for example, in Hmong. This is good development for the language. But there are two big challenges for the Hmong language in the future. The first is the fact that young people are not learning the language well because of the pressure from English in Australia or the United States, or the pressure from Chinese in China, or the pressure from French in France. Because of that, young people are not learning the language adequately. Mm-hmm. Some people do, but many Hmong I've seen don't. Their primary language is English, English is a good language to learn, but it's dangerous for Hmong because a language needs to have a home. What I mean is a language needs a place where it's just that language that gets used. Say, traditionally, Hmong was strong in the home. So families spoke Hmong at home, English at work, or something like that when the first immigrants came to Australia or America. But now what's happening is that Hmong people are now using English at home. And because of that, there's no good place for Hmong to be spoken. So I want to encourage younger Hmong who have families, if you like your language, if you want to see the Hmong language continue to be healthy as a language, you need to speak it to your kids at home. That's the best way for the language to continue remain as strong as it has been.
Do you have anything to add, any comments that we haven't touched on about Hmong language that you want to say to Hmong communities or any person who are interested in Hmong language?
Yes, there's actually one thing. So right now at JCU, we're developing something called the Hmong Medical Corpus. So one of the big challenges for the Hmong community in Australia and the United States is understanding medical issues, especially say you go to the doctor, the doctor tells you something about an issue you have. It's a problem because if you don't, say for especially older Hmong who may not speak English that well, who may not understand medical terms in English, which I mean, even for a native English speaker, medical terms are terrible for us to understand and learn. So it's even worse, obviously, for older Hmong who are probably now beginning to encounter health issues. And because of that, there's a difficulty in communication between doctors and members of the Hmong community who might have an illness or have some sort of issue. So we're developing this Hmong medical corpus, and one of the goals is to make the material available for Hmong community people to be able to read about illnesses or issues that a doctor might diagnose them with. You can actually get more information. And all of this information is in Hmong.
So in this case, you mean that it's a medical dictionary that it might comes with the English and then translate into Hmong or some sort of...
It's actually different. So the governments of Minnesota and Wisconsin in the United States mm-hmm. have spent a lot of money translating large amounts of material into Hmong. Mm-hmm. So it's all completely Hmong. Obviously, you'll still have the name of the illness mm-hmm. Written in English and Hmong together mm-hmm. if Hmong has a close equivalent. And if Hmong doesn't, they'll translate it with a phrase. Mm-hmm. But what it does is you can go on the internet, you can go to the Hmong medical corpus, and you can type in, say, a problem you're having. Say you're having issues with, say, your liver, for example. You can actually go on and type into the box Shia mm-hmm. and hit search, and it'll find all of the articles that deal with liver. So that's the idea. But there's one thing about the medical corpus is that we need help with it. Because one thing we want to do is to be, eventually we want to work toward having it set up so that you can actually have connections between the names of the illnesses and the symptoms, for example. Mm-hmm. But to do that, we need a lot of work because we have a lot of text to work with. Soon I plan to have things set up, say on Facebook, for example, where I ask Hmong people questions about certain words. You know, mm-hmm. you can take a poll on Facebook. You know, does this word, does it sound like it means something more like X, or does it mean something more like Y? Like, say, Shia, for example. So that okay. means liver, but it also means high. That's so right. sometimes it is ambiguous, mm-hmm. because if you want to say Blong Shia, right? Mm-hmm. But how do I know that doesn't mean high leaf? So we need help with Hmong people just like taking mm-hmm. short quizzes, say, mm-hmm. Does this sound more like this or does it sound more like that?
Okay.
And I plan to have these up probably, hopefully by the end of November. And so I could use, we could use as much help with the Hmong community support in the project, you know, contribute your understanding and take these quizzes or polls and let us know what you think about what these words mean.
Okay.
So that we can build a better system. I'll be working on it this month. I'll probably name the Facebook. I'll have a special Facebook group or Facebook account that'll actually be called Hmong Medical Corpus.
Let us just touch a little bit more about your dictionary. Do you have a time frame that you want to complete the Hmong grammar as a book? Each chapter into the future, or just finish your PhD research and that's it? Or do you have a future plan for it?
Let's be clear about that. So my thesis should be finished sometime between next August and the following February.
Okay.
So mid to late 2020 or early 2021, mm-hmm. I'll be finished with the thesis. Mm-hmm. I'm required to produce the complete grammar as my thesis. It will be done by 2021. But then it'll take probably a year or two after that, changes and improvements on it, mm-hmm. before the book is actually published.
Mm. Well, that's a good news. We are looking forward to see how's it going to be. Is it going to be only in English because it's too academic? Hmong people who Hmong people who English is second language to them might have problem. Even me, I'm still keep learning every day. So, is there any version about Hmong language as well to explain about this? Or you just go for English versions first and then probably translate into Hmong later?
Yeah. So my dream is to produce a version of the grammar in Hmong, obviously, because I want people to be able to access the grammar in their language. But that will be down the road. Just in terms of what can be done now, it will be very difficult these days. I obviously have to finish the academic version first, and then it would need to be rewritten in simpler terms, mm-hmm. so that people can access it. and that will take time.
Thank you so much for your insights about your PhD research with the James Cook University about Hmong languages. And thank you so much for your insights and your story shared with SBS Radio Hmong program.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Sám nong đôi giờ số sử dụng nghe non gì lo. Nong tao là Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify là giống nong tao. Đại lựa chọn podcast tao.